Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. It's the second course of The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. What we do around here every day, believe it or not, is to talk about, analyze first, I guess, if you can stand anything being analyzed. We get a look at what's going on in the culinary community, what tastes good, what things are maybe not quite as good as you wish they were. And we cover all of that. And we do this to your individual order, I'll have you know, because if there's something that has crossed your mind as, you know, I bet that guy might know the answer to this and this, but he probably doesn't have the time for that. Trust me on this. We will always make time for you, whatever it is that you want to talk about, unless it is the 50th time that hamburgers have been brought up today, in which case I will put my foot on the brake. Now that we have, what are you laughing about?
That's so true.
Our guest host today is none other than Ari Lofton. And she and her husband have an operation locally which comes forth with the absolute best way to roast oysters in the oven or bake them, or you can, I'm sure you'll think of some other ways. And it doesn't even have to be oysters. It could be shrimp, it could be crawfish, it could be anything that would fit in there and would take of a good sauce, and you it through there, you got something.
Can I tell you something fun
we're
doing?
No.
No, I can't. Yeah,
no, go right ahead. Go and do it, and do it as long as you want to.
No.
Yeah.
Listen, I do. All right. Okay. I do love to talk about my business, uh-huh. but I really love to talk about food in New Orleans mm-hmm. more than anything. But I will tell you all, just because it's tomorrow, so we're doing a cooking demonstration at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum tomorrow at 1 p.m. And perk, it's free museum admission day.
Ah.
The Smithsonian is sponsoring free admission to all museums tomorrow, Saturday. And we are doing a cooking demonstration at 1 p.m. in the Jen Eyre Rouse's kitchen.
Uh-huh.
You were there for a cookbook with G.W. Finn's recently.
I'm sure I did.
And we're doing it tomorrow. So getting into the museum is free.
Yeah.
And then you come right back to the kitchen at 1 p.m. We're doing a cooking demonstration. We're having two different types of oysters. So you're going to get a couple of samples.
Oh, how cool.
Of two different types. One of them we're going to be doing is a spin on the barbecue shrimp recipe, right? From Pascal Minnelli's, that flavor profile on top of oysters.
Yeah, no, that's
okay.
I don't like that from right this where I'm sitting.
No.
Now, I'll try it. I'll try it with an open mind. But
you
to me,
said you didn't like it. How's your mind going to be open?
Did I say that?
You did.
No, what I'm thinking is oysters are delicacies.
Yes.
I think these are not big hit you over the head kind of flavors. What the real flavors are, I think, are just remarkable and wonderful, and I'll never get tired of them.
So you like them raw, is your preference?
I like them raw,
then.
But I like them simply done other ways or with really good sauces.
You like, love Rockefeller, and that's all kinds of toppings.
Oh, I know. And Bienville, even better.
Yes.
Well, I do. I do like those. But
then I'm asking you to embrace it.
Oh, okay. I'm embracing the microphone right now.
Okay.
God,
okay,
get this
but
guy
I'm still
away
listening.
From me.
I'm listening.
Oh, you're listening.
You have been eating oysters for a long time. I'm just telling you what we're going to do. But that is the butter And the herbs and the Tabasco and the spiciness kick and an oyster bathing in all of that not just blow your mind?
Yeah, I'd go for it.
No, he's pausing everyone.
I would I would try them for sure. I just love oysters, and you know, if it's offbeat, I'll try it. I'll try anything.
Well, we do the traditional type.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
And so we cook those up, but we also like to mix it up, you know, try a little something different. And so the other recipe that we're going to try too, which now that I am getting a feeling for what you do and don't like oyster-wise, you're probably going to be like, meh. But it's an adobo pepper with a kick of blackberry.
Blackberries.
Like a pepper jelly.
Do they have blackberries in Mexico?
I have no idea.
I'm not trying to pin you against the wall or anything like that. No, I'm just thinking about it, possibly that might be the case. Blackberries and oysters. Where I live, there are blackberries.
In Covington?
Yeah. And then all you have to do is come up with the oysters and somehow work them in. The kind of mushrooms you said.
I promise you all, I've tried this. It's delicioso. Oh.
You mentioned a variety of oysters, or it was something you did to it, I think. It was adobo.
Adobo.
Adobo,
It's a smoky. So can you imagine that? Y'all, just close your eyes for a minute and imagine an oyster bathing in a smoky, spicy adobo pepper sauce with a kick of blackberry. It's gonna be delicious. it's gonna be so good. You know what, Tom? Yep. I'm gonna change your mind. And if I had a grill
I ate it.
Listen, if I had a grill here,
I ate it. I liked it.
If I had a grill here,
yeah, if you did,
I would change your mind.
I don't know. I'm already here.
I would change your mind.
Yeah,
it's gonna be good. Tomorrow at 1:00. At SOFAB, Southern Food and Beverage Museum, off of Aretha Casley Hayes Boulevard, we're going to be doing this demonstration. And it's free museum admission day, sponsored by the Smithsonian. Yeah. So it's going to be fantastic. Come out and see me. Kyle, my husband, and my brother-in-law, Mike, are going to be there cooking, and I'm going to be narrating.
Ah. Well, you got the easy job, then.
That's the hard job.
It is? Not when you've got a 15-page notebook over.
I do. That's 15 pages.
We sure are having a lot of fun with you.
We are.
I hope you don't mind, and I hope your hubby won't come out and slap me silly.
No, he's not. We're having date night tonight, and I actually just asked Tom where we should go. If anybody has been to these are the two that we were considering. So if anybody has been to these restaurants and have something to report, please call us 260-6368. We are considering Zazu, which is a new one in Mid-City, or Gabrielle, which just reopened within the last year. Right, Tom?
I'd say closer to 2 years.
Okay. They just reopened. They used to be off Esplanade before Katrina.
They're not all that far off Esplanade now.
No, Orleans.
Yeah.
Right in there. If anybody has been to Zazu or Gabrielle, this is where we're considering going to eat tonight. No, we don't have reservations. So if somebody's calling in to tell me that we can't get in because we don't have reservations, don't call and tell me that. I'm praying.
Yeah. But the Zazu thing, I wouldn't even consider going there without a reservation. I'm sorry.
Do they have a bar? We've not been.
They do have a bar.
Okay, then we'll get into the bar.
And guess who runs the bar?
Who?
Gabrielle herself. See, she's a
not
real person.
Not at Zazu. At Gabrielle.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gabrielle. Yeah. That's what we were talking about.
The daughter.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, so she runs the bar.
She runs the bar.
Okay. Does Zazu have a bar? Has anybody been to Zazu?
They do have a bar. It's right inside the door.
Okay.
And it looks ridiculously too small to turn out a decent drink. But the first time I went there, I said, well, let's see. You know, bring me a Manhattan.
Yep.
I'll take Manhattan, the Bronx and Staten Island too. There's nothing like going through the zoo.
We were singing at lunch today, you guys. Speaking of lunch, can we tell them where we went?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We went to Vion.
Vion. Oh, one of my favorite places to speak.
Y'all, I've never been there before.
V-Y-O-N-N-E.
No, V-Y-O-O. No, two,
two O's, right. Yeah. Two O's, you're right.
If you are walking down Girard, you would easily miss it.
Yeah, you would.
You would easily miss it because you would be passing up the show pony, show piece that is Gianna. Mm-hmm. Which, listen, I haven't been to Gianna. I've heard mixed things about it. I've heard good. I've heard, you know, medium reports about it. But it is a showpiece. When you walk past that restaurant and you just look in the grandiose windows, it's gorgeous.
It's a they did a beautiful job of building that.
Beautiful job. Just visually, it's incredibly inviting. So you pass that, and then you pass Merrill. Mm-hmm. Which also has, you know, gorgeous windows and lots of signage. And then you pass what must be another sort of commercial building until you get to a very simple sign. And these apple green doors, about 12 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Vion. And I did not expect when we opened the doors that we would be walking down a long brick hallway with Christmas lights dangling nearly 14 feet down. And do you all ever walk into a restaurant and suddenly just the vibe and the ambiance almost just transforms your mood? This was lunch, and Tom and I are walking down this hallway, and we open these apple green doors, and we stare down the hallway, and it's dangling with Christmas lights 4 inches apart, and it just transforms my mood. I mean, obviously, y'all are listening to me. I'm an upbeat person in general. But it was gorgeous, and I just knew. I just knew from the vibe and the ambiance it was going to be a spectacular meal, and we hadn't even gotten to the table yet.
Mm. So the name of this restaurant is, tell me the how you spell it. Yeah, I know that.
V-Y-O-O.
V-Y-O-O.
So it's a double O.
Double O.
Even though sometimes you would think it would be the double N.
Yeah, yeah.
It's double O, Vion.
And it's easy to spell it wrong, too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And Tom, you were telling me about the two different restaurateurs that do the restaurant. One is an artist. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's always been an artist, but she was in the restaurant business a lot, too, even more so her husband.
Okay.
They were from Iran, but don't take any thoughts she might have had about that.
It's a French bistro. So Iran has its
French
own
bistro.
Food,
and,
you know, scene.
And it was in a really great location. And for a long time, they ran a restaurant uptown, way uptown, called the Flaming Torch.
Yes.
This is very different from the Flaming
yes,
Torch.
It
they
is.
Have put together a much more sophisticated and better restaurant over at Vion. And plus, they have the French aspect of it, which they didn't really at the other place either. So this is...
Now, do you know how long Vion's been around? We didn't get a chance to ask that question.
2 years at the most.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's new?
Yeah. It's fairly new.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's in a great old building, an old brick building that is goes back to the 1840s. So that's not too bad for the CBD, which is where it is. Anyway.
So I'm going to walk you all down the visuals of this. So I told you we are walking down this long corridor of Christmas lights, 14 feet dangling all around you. And it just lifts and transforms your mood, just like light would in general. And it opens to a gorgeous courtyard. It's petite. It's not a large courtyard, but gorgeous sunlit streaming down. And so if you all are looking for a quaint, cozy French bistro in the CBD area with a gorgeous courtyard, this is it.
Yeah, it's nice.
It just opened up, sunlight streaming down. It was absolutely gorgeous, although we all know it's hotter than Hades
out right now.
Okay, so we did not sit outside. So we turned a short corner, walked through another set of double French apple green doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to have to pick this back up and tell you, because Doug, didn't you tell me? Yes.
Oh, here it is. And take a little break here on 105.3 FM HD2. It's the Food Show on 105.3 FM HD2. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Today, as we try to do every once a week, we have a special guest host, and we do have another one of these today. Let me look up her phone number and name and stuff. Wait a minute.
Am I Allie?
Allie Lofton. She is also known as the
Oyster Lady.
The what?
The Oyster Lady.
The Oyster Lady. And I think we've hit that topic up pretty well.
We have. I want to get back to Villon.
Enough about Villon. Yeah. This is an interesting thing. First of all, we've been throwing around the words Creole, or in this case, French
bistro.
And I'm going to ask you, since you're sitting over there, and you probably have a thought on this. As a matter of fact, as I saw you eating through the big pile of it that we had about an hour ago,
mm-hmm.
You probably know what you're thinking about it. So it's what is a French bistro anyway, and what makes it different from any other restaurant that just, you know, comes in and there it is?
Well, we were talking about Creole French restaurants.
Yep.
And we were doing the comparisons of just Creole restaurants. But I feel really what differentiates a French bistro is that it is classic French from a particular region of France.
Mm-hmm.
And really what Tom and I had decided on, that it was really more like northern French cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we started out with was two soups, a French onion soup and a gazpacho. And the gazpacho came in, which is not a French soup, but the gazpacho came on because the new chef over there, Jennifer Cole, had spent several years in Spain cooking. And, you know, y'all, it's so hot outside right now.
Mm-hmm.
Cold soups are welcome in
any restaurant
to me right now.
They had two of them, and most restaurants struggle to have one. I mean, you look at menus throughout the whole year, you see that almost never do these cold soups appear. I guess it's because people think of soup equals hot.
Right.
But do you know what? This time of year, it's perfect.
So their gazpacho was a puree, and it was dotted with the most delicious extra virgin olive oil atop, which I felt like just gave it an incredible depth.
A little richness.
It really was delicious.
And you know, it's funny about olive oil, especially good quality olive oil. A lot of people will use it and say, you know, what do you use this for anyway? And, you know, should I put it into this bowl here with the pancakes and everything? It's a condiment. If you think of it,
if you think of it as an accoutrement too,
mm-hmm. and if you sprinkle like a little something, you know, just like you do with French fries and pepper or mm-hmm. salt, you sprinkle in a little bit, just enough
to accent.
Well, the same is true of this
of olive oil.
Yeah, olive oil. You just drizzle it here and there. Good quality, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's essential.
Certainly.
And then you can do anything you want to do with olive and maybe a few things you never thought about
before. So that was delicious. But, of course, even though it's hot outside, if I see French onion soup on the menu, it's going to get got.
Mm. It's going to get got?
It's going to get got.
Mm. Gosh, I've never gotten got before. One of these days, I'm
going to... That's a colloquial term, Ty. I'm going to pick it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You got a nosebleed or something? What's the...
This is
getting really awful.
It's all my fault, good.
Folks, she is not the person who's responsible for this gross exposition.
Tom was telling me, actually, he was full of jokes, including dirty jokes he couldn't tell on the air.
I don't tell dirty jokes.
But
well,
anyway.
Well, there's that one by Dorothy, I can't think of her name, so I'm off the hook.
All right. So yeah. The French onion soup
yep.
was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It was crusty on top. The cheese was incredible with a crusted bread.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually a little bit sweet, which we talked mm-hmm. to the
yeah.
chef about,
mm-hmm.
Which she told us, and I did not know this. She uses white and red onion.
Mm.
And as you all know, red onion has its own sweetness that when you start to cook it down has its own flavor profile. But it was still savory and sweet in a really even, smooth way. It was delicious.
Mm.
But you told me you cook with 7 different onions.
I did, yeah. This I did for...
Can you remember all these onions that you cook with?
Well, I probably... Let's see here. Let's start with red bell pepper.
That's not an onion.
That's not, oh, I'm sorry.
I had
two...
All of the different onions.
I had one
French
with peppers
soup.
And one with onions.
Okay.
Okay. So what we have is just... White onions.
White onions,
you know,
yeah.
And green, green onions.
Yes. Do you do Vidalia?
Vidalia onions, if they're around.
What about shallots? Do you cook with shallots in it?
Yeah, real shallots I do.
Okay.
And what else? I consider garlic to be a member of the family for this.
If I thought
about it long enough, I'd probably come up with a couple more. And it was more a gimmick than anything.
Okay.
And I would cook it down with just the right amount of oil and stock, really,
right.
is what I'm after. And you let it has to just stay there in the pot for...
Caramelizing,
exactly right. Somewhere between a half an hour and 2 hours. Or half an hour to 1 hour.
Okay.
And you let it just cook and cook and cook.
On a very low heat.
Very low heat.
Mm-hmm.
And what you come out with is this sweet soup. Not sweet in the sense of eating a Hershey bar.
Well, it was sweeter than I have had. So I love Café des Gosses.
Yeah.
So if anybody has been there, it was very good. Different than theirs, because theirs is one of my favorite in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And theirs was a little more savory. But as soon as I took a bite of Vian's, I mean, I loved it.
Yeah. The chef who is there now clearly knows what she's doing.
Yes. Jennifer Cole. She has she spent some time in New York. She's cooked in Spain and traveled all over, and she's just been there recently. She hasn't been there
yeah.
a long time.
Right. She's, I remember we were there about 2-3 weeks ago, and we're talking to her. And she's been on the show, too, for that matter, I think.
Has she
yeah.
been on?
I think so.
Maybe the owner has.
Well, the owner has been on a bunch of times over the years, but... Anyway,
but she's doing a fantastic job
because one of the other things we had
was a duck confit white bean salad.
Mmm, delish.
Oh, my goodness. And
these
I love
beans.
Navy beans, not cannellini.
Yeah, different thing. Cannellinis and red beans are, if you close your eyes, I don't think you could tell the difference between them. They're very similar. One's white and one's red. Okay, that's
right.
it.
Right. And they're a smaller. So cannellini beans are a little bit bigger. The navy beans are smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were cooked perfectly because for me, I don't want a bean that is mushy.
No,
I don't
indeed.
Know any
oh,
other
Lordy
fancy
help
word
us.
For
Heaven
that. It
help
was mushy.
Us. Yeah.
It had a little bit of a bite. It was almost al dente, kind of like we like to cook our pasta.
Al dente. Make a note to call him. I needed to ask him about
that al dente.
Al dente.
You know
yeah.
what? Where did al dente come from, Tom?
Where did it come from?
Yes. What does it mean?
It means to the tooth.
To the tooth.
Is literally what it means. And what they
right.
mean by it is if you cook pasta that's al dente, then when you take a bite of it, your teeth just go right through it right away. It just cuts right through.
Right.
Whereas something that's not so Al Right Who, I mean, it's you could be chewing at it for a week and you're still trying to get the that wad of whatever.
See, I just put you right on the spot and you knew exactly what to say. So it was a white bean, a duck confit white bean salad. The duck was cooked perfectly. Mm-hmm. You know what I really dislike about duck that turns me off is if it comes to the table too wet. Too moist. And this was perfect. It had a little bit of skin on the outside that was crusty and golden and crispy, but it was still delicate. Mm-hmm. Not wet. There's a difference.
I know whereof you speak.
Yes.
And my thinking about this is that duck and lamb, and I'm just picking these at random,
delicate
but both
meats.
Of those— they're delicate, all right, but I think that in most restaurants that serve either one of them, they undercook them.
Yes, they do, in effort to try to not overcook, but then it's just that's still as bad as overcooked.
But then, you know, you're getting in there, and it ain't so al fresco when you're chewing it away like crazy, al dente, excuse me. And it's, I think I think it needs to be broiled or baked or however it's cooked. Mm-hmm. More than most chefs do it. And, you know, these guys swear by this, that, oh, yeah, you want rare rack of lamb. No, you don't.
Yeah.
I don't. I think
it's a fine line.
It is.
Yeah, it's a fine line and definitely a skill to be honed. But this was absolutely delicious. It was full of fresh herbs. The beans were delicious. I absolutely loved the salad. And again, we're talking about Vion's. If anybody is just tuning in to us, if anybody has been, if you've been, give us your report. But I had not been. Tom had suggested this today. So we just walked right over from the studio. Again, it was a hidden little gem past the showpiece that is Gianna, past Merrill that's been there for a while, to these bright apple green French doors. And it was delicious. So if anybody has been to Vion Cullen, and let us know, 260-6368. And if you haven't, make a date of it. It is absolutely worth your while.
It's a cute little place. The only thing I complain about there, if I wanted to claim about something, their music could use some work.
It was a tiny bit loud.
A little loud and a little... too much on the...
But we were sitting really close to the speaker,
we were.
Too.
Yeah, that's
we
fair
were.
Enough.
And that's kind of the hard part is, like, you only have certain points in the restaurant which you can put speakers, which is typically up in the corners to be obscure. Mm-hmm.
Is more or less what we have to mope about, and we will return with more of the food show after we check in on a
couple
of...
Call us, 260-6368. We'd love to talk to y'all.
Yep, give us a call. 260-6368 is our telephone number. We'd love to talk with you about any of the things that we have referred to already today.
You know what?
Which
I think
covers
we need
the
to talk about hamburgers.
No, you don't. No, you won't do that to me. Please.
What about New Orleans hamburger and seafood?
I do have a few things to say about New Orleans wine and food experience. No, no. New Orleans hamburger and seafood. We talk about them all the time and with good reason.
Because their hamburgers are so good.
The hamburgers are good. But I go back to before they even had that place open, when they were talking about what it was going to be. And when they showed it to me, I can't claim, you know, being responsible for this at all. It's just something. It was a happy coincidence. Let's just say that. And what they had done was take your normal hamburger, made it bigger, because everybody wants a bigger one anyway, and then grilled it at such a high temperature that it came out crusty and juicy in the middle. And this is a good hamburger. If you can do that, you have my respect. But a lot of times they just make it bigger and thicker, and it gets mushier and mushier. Not over there, though. At New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company, they do all of this to order. It's not coming out of underneath a heat lamp or anything like that. And it comes out with these great fries that they do that resemble very, very closely crescents. And they're made out of potatoes, and they have some butter and some garlic, and it's really good.
You know what I love about their hamburgers?
Tell me.
I want a hamburger.
Oh.
Like their hamburgers. Yeah. That when you bite into, it's like a full face hamburger.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I know
I don't
exactly.
want a baby hamburger.
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't think anybody wants a baby hamburger.
Well, there are those little square hamburgers that would they kind of live in a class of their own. We'll talk about that in a minute too, if you've got time. But anyhow, let me wrap this up. There is one other thing. There's the seafood aspect of this, and that is over at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. It comes from the fact that they're always changing out the oil, adding new oil, or most of the time dumping it out and putting new oil in there, which makes your seafood come out a lot better. And they do it to order again, all of it fresh. It's a New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. They have 10 locations around town. They now have
Char-grilled oysters.
You are so right.
Which I know something about that.
I'll bet you do. Anyway, New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. I understand that we will be approaching the back room of Andrea's.
No, wait, what about Stephen? Are we going to talk about Andrea or are we talking about Stephen?
Well,
I love Stephen.
Stephen. Oh, where'd Stephen go?
I am right here.
Okay.
Yay.
Well, wait.
Hey,
what?
Hi, Stephen.
Yep. Also, that New Orleans hamburger and seafood now has waffles and chicken.
That makes me hungry. Wait, what didn't you tell us about their waffles and chicken earlier?
Yeah, I had them last weekend.
Okay,
yeah,
wait a minute. What was your thoughts on them again? Remind me.
I liked them other than they serve the waffle room temperature, which I guess may have been a mistake, or they cooked it there. Their food is always so hot when it comes out to the table.
I like food I got to blow on for a minute.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
What's going on with you, Stephen?
Well, I'm going to try to get down to see you tomorrow.
Please.
I go to the gym, and depending on what time I get up and get it through the gym, I can hopefully be downtown by. I'll try to get up early.
He's going to come try our barbecue oysters and our Chipotle oysters.
Well, let us know.
What I wanted to say to you, I've been thinking about it since Tinny Flynn was on the radio the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he dives the rigs. And Tom and I talked about the large oysters that grow on the rigs.
Yes.
And maybe, I don't know, I assume you know Tinny Flynn. If you could get him to get you a shell for one of those huge plate-sized oysters, you could do an oyster casserole to add to your repertoire.
Yeah, giant oyster casserole.
And you could do, you could make this large one. And
we would have to cut that mamma jamma down, Stephen. We would have to cut that mamma jamma down because those things are the size of plates.
I don't know what your facility, but but even the size of your hand, is much bigger than your oyster shell.
That's true.
And you could put 5 and 6 or 8 oysters in one the size of my hand, and make a casserole.
I love all kinds of oysters, so I feel like that would be delicious.
Yeah. So.
Stephen.
Right. Okay, well, I'll try to get down to see you tomorrow.
Okay, super. Would love to see you.
Okay.
That's at SoFab, y'all, the Southern Food and Beverage Museum at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Free admission via the Smithsonian Institute of Sponsoring Free Admission.
I'm a Smithsonian member.
Yay. Well, as you should be, because we should all support our museums. Because as you all know, this show is a history of food.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of. It's been on the show for 31 years. I'm pretty sure it's encompassed a lot of history.
We're working on it. It's, we'll get it done before,
Tom's acting like it's not a big thing, but it is. So, to wrap up Vion's, because it was delicious. Stephen, thank you, by the way, and I would love to see you tomorrow. So we finished off after our duck confit bean salad with a beef tartare, which was out of this world. It was so good. I really can't say enough of how fantastic this restaurant was because it was very surprising. I have kids. I have 2 small children, so it's hard for me to eat out all the time and often. I mean, you remember, Tom, when you and Marianne had Mary Lee and Jude very small, you ate out by yourself while she was at home. So it's hard to eat out all the time when you have small kids.
But it's not too hard.
Oh, really? You took them all the time and they behaved and it was fantastic?
Well, they behaved their way, which had a certain amount of flying through the eye.
Yeah.
That this talk about a question you could go a long time on.
Mm-hmm.
Should children be allowed to go to restaurants?
How are you going to teach them how to behave otherwise?
One perfect response to that. Why do you bake for any reason at all, unless you really have to, get away from your children who's going to do a better job with making your life wonderful than your kids?
That's true. And I do agree with you, except for after this show, I'm doing date night, and date night is essential.
Oh.
It's essential.
What is that?
Well, it's where me
and
the hub go and just have time with us without kids.
Oh, okay.
While the kids have time with their grandparents.
Yeah. Oh, there
you go.
Just like Marianne's
out in California right now, I'm sure, giving Jude and his wife a nice little break.
Yeah. Well, there's much that could be said about this.
That's true. And so, you know where I like to take my kids to teach them how to behave?
Yeah. Where?
Breakfast.
Breakfast is really good. We used to, when the kids were in their single-digit ages, we started off at Shoney's, of all places.
Shoney's. Oh, my God. Then, has anybody been to Shoney's?
And then the Shoney's that was in our neighborhood in Covington, they closed. And so we went over to the Marriott Courtyard Hotel, which was almost immediately adjacent.
You know why courtyards are so great for children?
They have a pool
they have fountains, they get to run around and act like the crazy animals that they are.
Yeah, and they also have a buffet every morning.
Yep.
So I started taking first my son, and then when my daughter got old enough, her too, and we used to go to start off with Shoney's and then at the courtyard. And then my son dropped away and did his own things. And my daughter and I started, we kept doing the breakfast. And after we were finished with that, we would go shopping. And then after that, we would play putt-putt. And then after that we would, just the two of us, because mom, who needs her, and big brother, really, who needs him? And it was just, of all the things in my life, that experience in that Saturday morning breakfast we did for years.
It stayed with you.
It's my favorite moment of life.
Yes.
And I think, there are times when you just can't have the kids there.
Yes. Why it's called date night.
Yeah. But it's not all that frequent. And why not? When in doubt, go.
Yes. Well, I love doing breakfast with the kids because usually breakfast items you can hold in your hand,
like a
piece of bacon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You can let the kids run around with
a mountain of bacon is
right, or a muffin or something, and usually they just run around with the muffin or the bacon in their hands, just shoving it in their face while they're running around the courtyard, and you get to pretend like you're enjoying yourself and having a break.
Any thoughts on the part of our listeners about that? Whether that's available?
Yeah, where did you take y'all's kids? Did you take your kids to breakfast? Did you take your kids to fine dining restaurants?
Yeah, everything.
And that worked out for you? Do you have advice on that? I think actually viands would work for the kids because have the courtyard.
Yeah, sure.
And they could run around. And everybody was super nice. Jennifer, the chef, came out and spoke with us. And we chatted about the different ingredients and what she's getting ready to transition into as fall is upon us. And I hope that welcomes cooler temperatures because I'm just about sick of this heat.
I'll bet.
Even the two blocks that Tom and I walked from the studio to Vion's was sweaty and nearly unbearable.
Well, that happens.
But if anybody has been to Villon's and wants to call in about it, we had a great experience. I'm definitely, I almost might go back there for date night, honestly.
Oh, you could have worse.
Really that good.
It's really a nice little place. I have a taste for restaurants like that, and that certainly is one of them.
But, Tom, I did start the show with you talking about expectations and etiquette. And I want to tell you another experience, since we have a few minutes left, that happened to me that I would like your advice on for future reference. It actually starts out with, so Tom and I were having a discussion about food words that are pronounced incorrectly. Remember?
Yeah.
So you all were talking about, can't remember if it was yesterday or 2 days ago, the word flaccid, and Doug corrected us, and it was flaccid.
Flaccid.
F-L-A-C-C-I-D. But the first C is silent.
Yeah.
So we were talking about food words that are pronounced incorrectly. And one of the ones I had a question about was prefi.
Prefi, P-R-I-X-F-I-X-E.
Right. So why is the first X silent in pre? And why is the next X in fix pronounced?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't speak French very well.
A
I don't
French
really
speaker
don't.
Out there.
Well, sort of. We must. We probably do have somebody out there. If anybody knows the answer to that, call us up and tell us. And if you don't, I'm going to look it up as soon as I get home.
I am too.
And find out what's the dope on that, because I always said prefix.
Right, and I thought it was pre-fi.
And it kind of means.
And I don't want to sound stupid anymore saying it correctly, just like flaccid, because I've been saying flaccid, and so has Marianne. We've both been saying flaccid forever. But so I went to a super grand dame restaurant here in the city for a special occasion. It was a New Year's Eve night.
Mm-hmm.
I called and made reservations.
Yeah.
And at no point in me calling and making reservations or me looking on the website about that evening was it ever specified that it was a prefix or a prefi. Okay, never, not anywhere was it told when I called.
I say always ask.
Okay, all right, so there's my fault again. All right, so we showed up.
Your fault?
I'm going to tell you the story.
Oh, okay, tell.
We showed up, and we sat down for dinner. This is New Year's Eve, okay? We're already seated. There is no going anywhere else on New Year's Eve.
Oh, is that the truth?
Okay, we're dolled up, and we sit down, and we're presented with the menu.
And it's 20 times more...
And
expensive.
It's $150 a person, pre-fee or fix.
I saw that one
only.
Coming. Only. That is something that started up in restaurants. It's been a while.
Okay, now this is New Year's Eve, so I get it. But this is at the beginning stages of my, remember how you were talking about earlier when we were at lunch and you said there was a time when you finally started having enough of your own money to take your own self out to eat.
Right.
Okay, this is at this point in my culinary dining career.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm not prepared to drop $300. Okay.
It's unbelievable, and people really got worked up about it back when that happened.
What do you do?
Well, if it's too much money to spend on something, you just don't get it. And in that case...
No, do you get up and walk out?
Yes.
And say, excuse me?
Yeah.
I can't afford this.
I mean, I was... If it's not on the advertising or any other place, you know, I say, when in doubt, you know, look it up.
I guess I should have.
Yeah.
Does this happen to anybody? Call me up, seriously, and tell me what's happened to you. Because I was aghast, and my husband and I, we were married at this point. This is 10 years ago, just so you know. This is 10 years ago.
I've had lots of people get caught in that. And it's the restaurants, I think they're within their...
I was horribly embarrassed.
But you have to let people know ahead of time when you make the reservation, you know, this is what we're doing. If you like it, get it. And if you don't like it, well, come on a different night.
But didn't even know what to do. We were like, oh, my God, I can't believe we're about to drop $300.
Well, now you do. And And that is the, yeah, that's the thing to do. I mean, if you can, you can. If you don't, you don't. So
right.
You can always ask for the peasant section.
Doug finally chimes in.
Yeah, yeah.
Doug finally chimes in and tells us the peasant section. I don't think this peasant section existed in this restaurant.
No, probably not.
So I'm going to tell you what happened.
Yeah,
and I'm going to out myself.
All right.
Okay.
Go.
We stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And we put the money on a credit card.
Yeah.
And the next day, we called him up and we said, I just want to let you all know that we were there last night. It was a really great meal, but there was nowhere on your website and nowhere in making our reservations did it say that it was pre-fee only. Pre-fee only. There was no ordering off the menu. That was it.
Right.
Which I know they do for convenience because of how busy they are, right? Just like everybody's got to order these dishes, period.
Yeah.
And so we said, you know, everything was really good, but we felt very boxed in. And they said, okay, we're going to do some checking first. And so we said, okay, well, we were just calling to let you know. So we hung up, and about an hour later, they called us back and they said, you're right. We did not put it on our website. Mm. We did not put it anywhere. It just, we've been doing this for a while. We thought it was understood. We're sorry. We're going to refund you.
Well, that's very nice of them.
It was. And we did not ask. Let me clarify that. We did not ask. We just said, hey, next time, if, you know, this is what happened to us, if you could let us know, you know, or on special nights like this, whereas any other night, it's order off the menu, you know. We would appreciate it because I don't think that we would have chosen to stay at $150 a head.
Sure.
And they said, yes, we're sorry. We didn't post anything on our website. We didn't do anything about it. So we're going to refund you. And that's what happened. But I didn't know in that situation. We just accepted it. We just accepted that we were going to pay that and that was going to be it. And next time, this is a learning experience for us. So if anybody, we have a few minutes. If anybody has had one of those learning experiences where, you know, you've kind of been embarrassed or unsure about what you should do and you decided to go one way or the other, I would be really interested because I think things like that happen. You know, you're not always going to show up and know what the right thing to do is.
Well, a skilled restaurant patron. First of all, that this is something that you should be taught by your parents when you're growing up. But this is something I think applies to a whole lot of things. This is certainly one of them. And that is, if you don't know how much something costs, find out or don't do it. Here is a sentence.
We should have asked, and we didn't know.
Here's a sentence you should never, ever say in any first-class restaurant or hotel. Huh? What?
Do you have a
caller? And that thing that you should never say is, bring me the best cognac you have.
Yeah, I'm not going to do
that. Might be $1,200 a shot. I am not making that up.
Never.
Hey, somebody's on hold. Let's see. It's Brittany. Brittany, welcome to the food show. Come on in.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. You?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, what's up?
Well, I'm out here at the Fried Chicken Festival. Just wanted to come on and say, so we kicked it off today.
Yeah?
Yay!
And we're having a great turnout. The weather is beautiful.
Beautiful.
And we kicked off our 3-day weekend.
Wonderful.
Oh, goodness.
You know, I'm glad you called, but we have run out of time for today. Thanks.
Brittany, I'm going to come out and see you this weekend with the kiddos.
You go.
Fried Chicken Festival,
yes,
y'all, all weekend.
Yes. Woldenberg Park. Yes.
Well,
Woldenberg,
perfect place.
Park. We're out here all weekend.
There you go.
Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you for calling and let us know.
Have a great evening.
Once again, thank you.
Thank you, Tom, for being on
with us, Allie, and we'll talk about it another time soon.
Thank you.
And now I give up. It's for today anyway, and we'll come back with another food show every weekday, Monday through
Friday.
Friday.
105.3 FM HD2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.